Here's something we hope you really like.
You're listening to
Creating Daily.
There's something wrong with you. You know that?
Because you and I are like a mullet. Sid is the business, so he's the front part of the haircut, and then I'm the party in the back.
I think they're hilarious.
Speaks to me. It's like he's saying what I'm thinking.
What's up, all you creators? It's good to see you. It is Wednesday, April 13th. I don't even know what day it is, and I'm super excited for this episode. I have my longtime friend, my actual former high school teacher and friend on the podcast today. Super excited. I'm going to try not to cry. That's my one mission I told myself is like, don't cry. And I'm going to do the show a little bit different today. So instead of doing the couple of segments before, I want to leave us plenty of time to chat and to talk. And we're both a little ADHD and wired a little differently than most. So we're going to have a lot of fun. But I do want to set it up a little bit just to give you some backstory, because I don't want to focus too much on it during the show. But I definitely want to share just a little bit of backstory of how I met Jenny Rogers. So like I said, it was like 18 years ago, 2004-ish, somewhere around there. I think that's what year it was. I walked into a high school choir classroom, as I had done numerous of times before, dozens and dozens of times throughout my high school career. This was my senior year, first semester. And I knew my choir teacher was going to be out of commission. She was jumping on a jet plane and going through this adoption journey. And so she wasn't going to be there. And so everybody's like, yeah, there's a substitute. And I'm like, dude, I'm a class clown. I'm a nerd. Like, I don't really get school. I hate school. Like, I think the educational system's junk. Then I think it's, even more so now to some extent. Anyway, I won't get into all that. But I was like, yeah, dude, this is cool. It's going to be like, three or four months of like worksheets and flipping paper across the room and flirting with some choir girls. And so I walked in, and sure enough, there was like a bunch of girls. And I'm like, what is happening? Like, there's usually a good mix of girls and guys, but there's all girls, maybe one other guy. And I'm just sitting there, and I'm like, okay, this is kind of weird, but whatever. Like, I don't really pay attention to schedules. Definitely didn't pay attention to the name on the schedule. And then I noticed this one poster right here. So this is a poster called The Journey. It's by Greg Rubottom. And I noticed this poster on the wall. And then shortly after that moment, Miss Rogers came walking out. Super awesome personality, loud, strong, a little ADHD seemed, but real organized at the same time. And piqued my curiosity. I'm like, oh, okay, this is interesting. And she starts talking. And she's like, welcome to the girls' performance arts class. And I'm like, you got to be joking me. I am getting out of here. And so I had like this three-day window to like get out of this class. And within that 3 days, one, I think I won Miss Rogers over a little bit. Two, she won me over because she said, here's the deal she made. She said, she found out I played guitar or bass or something, or I was a musician. She said, if you'll stay in this class for this semester, and we're going to do something really cool, I promise. I promise we're going to do something really cool. And if you do, and she knew I really was fond of this poster by this guy, she said, I'm going to give you that poster at the end of the semester. And so this semester that really, I love a bargain. I love a good deal. I love to shake hands and make deals. And this was the best deal I've ever made in my entire life. And so anyway, I'm not going to cry. I said I wouldn't, but it literally changed my life. That 4 months to take the journey I've been on to do all this stuff. And anyway, I'm happy to have my friend Jenny Rogers on because she means the world to me. It's a huge show, and I'm excited to have her on. I said I wasn't going to cry, but I did. Hold on. I got you muted. You can't even talk and save me from my own tears. Dang it. All right, now let's go. I'm done crying. I said I wasn't going to do it, but
man.
I did.
Golly, Billy, man, that was beautiful. That was beautiful, and that is why I'm here, is kids like you, man. I remember that. I remember all those days. East High School was, East High School was one of those experiences where I was lost coming in to you guys. I was lost in my own life, and I looked out there and I saw that all you guys were lost too. So I felt like we just kind of belonged together. And when it comes to you saying it changed your whole life, I don't really take the credit for that. I think it's being in the right place at the right time. I think we save each other. our journeys, you know what I'm saying? Where whoever comes into our life and we walk into theirs, somehow we end up saving each other. And so I guess I'm so blessed and I'm so grateful that God did that in your life, because I did get to watch you do something that I that changed my life forever, which means that when we did the, for those listening, that we did a, and I'm not really sure why, it's either East High School was going through a rough time at that particular era, the decade or time, you know, a couple of years in there, in the school. And I remember Mary Rouse, the principal, said, "You can do anything you want to do, Jenny, just get, make us look good." And I thought to myself, well, we just need to get out there and sing, man. We just need to get out there and sing. And we put together an album. And actually you guys wrote the songs on it. Yeah. And in fact, I have one at my house. Do you have it there?
I don't have it. I actually meant to pull the cover, because I think the cover picture is still on Facebook somewhere.
I have the CD. I still have it. In fact, it's in my closet somewhere. But but you wrote that beautiful worship song on it. Yeah. And we did the concert and sold the album, and it was just the most unbelievable, vulnerable, if I can say that, vulnerable time in my life where everybody did something out of their comfort zone. Everybody got away from what should be and did what is in the moment, how they were feeling in the moment, what they were experiencing in the moment. I mean, we had, gosh, people, kids in ISS that were writing songs for that CD. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was crazy.
It seemed like you had the whole school writing songs. Like,
it was crazy.
It was one of the projects I remember, like, the whole school was, like, involved somehow. Like, everyone's like, what, are you guys making an album? You guys making a CD?
Yeah.
And you know, it was just fortunate that I was in this girls' performance arts class, which was a huge mistake by myself or someone else. And here's how, when people ask me, like, what was, you know, because I feel like everybody has those moments in their life where it's just this huge pivot, this huge transition. And when people ask me about it, I take them back to that moment and say, this was somebody who didn't just walk into a room and say, hey, you can do anything you want to do. But you literally, as a creator, walked into a room and said, hey, you can do anything you want to do, and I'm going to show you how. And that was that, like,
absolutely.
It was like that moment of, you know, and I'm not a songwriter. I'm not a musician. I mean, I've barely played my guitar in like 5 years, but it opened up this ginormous door. And when I tell people this story, I'm always, it's on the back of, hey, your message really does matter. And if you want to start a blank, a podcast and, you know, a book, a blog or whatever, like, this is what it does to people. And I'm that testimony of a person who, if you weren't in that moment, and now, you know, all stars align, God, Buddha, whoever people subscribe to, whatever, whoever you give the credit to, if you weren't in that moment, I wouldn't be in this one. And so, and I know that for sure. And that's why it's important for people to get over themselves and create. And you've been doing this for a long time. I mean, you're multi-hyphen. You're a musician, a singer, a songwriter. When I say musician, guys, I'm talking like every instrument you can possibly think of, and an author multiple times now. And so I'm excited to you know, have you on the show and really just share your story of, like, and I'm thinking 59 years of creating, my little 4 months was like a blip on the map. But you've been my mentor for 18 years from those 4 months of time.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know it, because we've connected maybe five or six times over the last 18 years. But the stuff I learned in that 4 months is like I carried with me forever. So thanks. I'm gonna drink my water and cry.
I feel the same tears, and but I do the journey is kind of crazy. I love the fact that you're doing creating daily, because that is kind of, to me, our essence as human beings is we're creators. Every single person's a creator. Like, I don't,
yeah.
Everywhere I go, all I see people as people who create. And the only ones who don't are the ones who were told that they shouldn't or that they couldn't.
Wow.
And, but we're all creators. And so that's the way God was, we're made in the image of God. God is the great, most unbelievable creator, and we're in his image. So we are unbelievable creators. And so, you know, I grew up in a home in which, you know, we were constantly creating. Like, when I say constantly creating, we were given freedom to be, freedom just to, if you wanted to be a tree that day, you were a tree. If you wanted to write a song, it didn't matter if you could sing or not. I didn't even know I couldn't sing, or I didn't know I couldn't play until actually someone said, oh, I don't think that song's good enough. And I was like, what do you mean? It's like, good enough. I mean, that's like the greatest song ever. You know, I just, I had this idea that, that you were just to take your paintbrush and paint the world. In fact, that was, I guess the first album I did was called I Believe. And it was way back. I want to say it was before my children were born. So that puts it 1980. I was married in 1981. And, I remember, I was a songwriter major at the time, and I remember writing Tom a song called "You Are the King of My Castle and the Hero of My Time." I went, "You are the king of my castle and the hero of my time," and I swear that guy looked at me and he went, "What have I done? Like, why am I here with this person?" Everything, but I don't know. I felt like everything that I felt I wanted to share and be in community. So that's why I'm with you today. I actually keep it. Every single person that I've ever taught or been in my path, when I see them, I just want to pick up right where we left off. And that means we have another little piece of the path that we can walk together once again. And then you're stamping me right now like crazy with just what you have created with the show. And in fact, I told my son, my oldest one that was on the podcast last week, I said to Ben, I said, man, there is so much we can learn from Billy. You know, it's like, while he's in our path, it's this gleam, everything that we can glean from his creative journey. And I think that if we all did that with each other in our lives, just think how rich we would all be. I mean, rich, yeah. Like each of us would be, we'd just be rich. And so anyway, yeah. I loved those days at East High School. And when I think about you and getting up on stage singing that worship song and everybody just hands up in the air and tears just, you know, streaming down their face, I thought to myself, and this is what life's about. You know, it's not about the money that you make along the way, even though I know prosperity is so important, but I think it's more of providing than prosperity. Yeah. I think it's provisionary. Mm-hmm. It's so that you can provide more for other people and create more so that you can provide more. So I think it's more provisionary. And that's the way I looked at teaching. For those that are listening is, you know, I did go into the world to be a singer-songwriter. And I can't, I really, really, really wanted to be one of those Amy Grants on stage and singing my song. And I remember pitching and having a catalog of songs and pitching out to different artists. And I would be like, I would be on the road, but I'd never actually make it. Like I would have like three or four songs, what I would call in a catalog, but none of them actually made it. Maybe Miss America took one of my songs. I forgot she did it on the road for a while. But anyway, when that happened, I realized, you know, I need to do something that I could provide more, be more creative and actually provide more for people. And that's when I went into teaching. And it was probably the greatest decision I ever made, because it's like I have all these friends along my growing up as a mom, I just had all these other kids that joined me and my family, and it was it's amazing. I retired, a couple of years ago. I don't know if you knew that, but I retired at 62, and that was really hard to leave the school system because I was leaving kids like you. And when I say that, they were at Belmont doing music, and kids, wow, you would have never, ever, ever thought that they would sing. Like one kid that just graduated from ETSU, I remember his freshman year, he sat there with his head down and never, like, I don't think anything came out of his mouth.
Wow.
He was so painful. Like, I thought to myself, he probably should be homeschooled because this is not working. He's going to get killed at, he's going to get killed at Dobbins Bennett. I mean, it's a school. You got to be able to make your voice, like at least say some.
Yeah.
And this guy, and I mean, I can't even tell you what he's done musically, that he sang literally in every quartet, started bands, has his own recording studio, auditioned to be a part of this amazing a cappella national group. And and I just look at him, and right now we had a conversation a couple weeks ago. I forgot. Oh, I was with Mama Bear. I was with my book.
Yay.
In a signing. Yeah, I was with my book in a signing. I looked up and there was Isaiah Bishop, and wow, I went, oh my gosh. And he said, he goes, I want one of your books. And I said, well, I want one of your CDs. I was like, this is like, we were just like, what are you doing? And he actually is now going into the police force. He's, wow, going to be a cop, and he wants to actually be in FBI and everything. But it's, wow, just like,
cool.
It's just living and connecting with people. So to me, that's, yeah, what creativity does. It, wow, allows connection. So if you didn't have this show, we would not be connecting. We just,
right,
wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Your creativity has allowed me to stay in contact with you. And it's the same thing that connects, mm-hmm, everyone in my family, but even those that I meet just randomly with entrepreneur, like groups like Hope that are 501(c)(3)s. They're groups that are out there helping other kids. Our paths cross in the vein of creativity. Let's create,
wow,
an event. Let's create something that would help these kids get from A to B. And or let's teach them how to shop. And then let me connect you with another group that, and now all that is creativity. So it's just a great show what you're doing. It's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate the kind words, and I totally agree. I think that when you lean into that creativity or you learn to be a creator, I think some people don't have that atmosphere where it's encouraged and their mom tells them like, hey, you want to be a tree today? Go be a tree. But it's like so when you get into those moments, let me ask you this. And then I do want to move on and talk about, your journey as an author and your new book, because I love it. I think, thank you for sending it to me. But when you, and I know that you probably have had these moments where you're just like, I know I want to create something, but I just don't know what it is. How do you get inspired? Like, how would you tell somebody if they feel like it's on the inside of them, but they don't get it out? What tool do they use to mine that thing out of their own life?
The first thing that comes to my mind is a window. A lot of people, look at what they want to do in a mirror. And they look at themselves and say, okay, I want to do this. I want to do this. And all they do is see themselves. And to me, that blocks the very thing that is inspiring. Not that I don't think you are inspiring, but where do you get that inspiration? You get it by looking outside a dang window, looking out. And so when I want to be creative, which is every day, every minute of my life, literally, I'm not even lying. I'd like to tell people that I am creating as I'm going to bed, and I'm creating. this is stupid, but like I have this little horseshoe that I sleep in, and like Tom, literally, I'm sure every day, if you're listening out there, the Tom Rogers of the world who are normal, logical, very successful. You're looking at somebody like me. I really get off on fixing my bed, like with this pillow horseshoe that keeps me like cuddled in. And then I'll put a heating pad, and then I'll put this pillow and nestle it in there. And then I get in the freaking bed, and I'm like going, this is incredible. Like I created a little nest to go to bed in at night. And then I'll put my little noisemaker on and, you know, take my little melatonin. And I'm like kissing the world and going, this, you know, this has been a great day. So there is like, I wake up and I'm even thinking, I know it sounds crazy. There's no one in the world out there who ever thinks about which coffee mug would best describe the day I want to have.
All right.
Am I feeling like a glass? Okay. This is an example. I'm at my creative desk that I created, but this morning I felt like a glass coffee. Like it had to be glass. And I don't know why, but I looked at it this morning. I was like, God, it's just like a clear day. Like, you know, I'm feeling really clear. And then, so I have that cup of coffee, and then I went, and then I went to this because I always feel like if I have the word Starbucks somewhere in my day, then I'm, and so I have it in my cup, but I have it full of water, and then, and it's pink, and that's not by mistake, Billy. The pink is not by mistake.
Yeah.
Like I had three choices. I had a blue one, a green one, and a pink one. And you asked me about creativity and like how you get inspired. Well, I just look at the color. Like I decide what color is inspiring for today. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think that it has to be the happy pink. Does that make sense? I think it could be, I love the earth tones. In fact, my website that actually launched today. So I hope we get to show that. The website launched today.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that this chick was going, man, I hope I never meet another Jenny Rogers again, because it was like daily I was recreating that website with her. Like I was a different color. You know, one day I was green, next day I was like just very mellowed out with maybe the earth tones. Cause some days I am so earth mama.
Yeah.
That like, it scares me. Like, let's go to Woodstock and let's just plant ourselves in the tent. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Get the bell bottoms on, which are not too far from this chair. Okay. And, the old bell bottoms. In fact, I thought about putting the big earrings on for this. But that creativity starts in the morning. Mm. And then like the afternoon I'm in this cup right now, and I don't, and it's this word doesn't mean anything. And so it's like a cat cup or something, but I like the fact that it was earth tones. And then it's just crazy. Like,
I love it. I love it.
I create all day. You asked me what inspires me. That was your question.
Yep.
And you cannot look in the mirror for inspiration. You cannot look in there and go, okay, dum dum da da dum da 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 da. You can't do the Rocky theme and make it happen. Is that you have to fall into creativity like you were on a mountain and the dawn of a new day is jumping off.
Wow.
And the dawn of a new day, like you get up and I didn't, and just for everybody to know I didn't get that on my own. You know, if my mother was sitting here and she's 86 in an assisted living, you would swear, Billy, that you were listening and watching Jenny Rogers. You would swear. You would swear.
Love
you know,
it.
Kelly. And again, there's nobody more creative from the morning that chick wakes up until she goes to bed with everything that she sees. Like it's you just can't look in the mirror. And I think so many people do that. And yeah, that's scary. That's where fear comes, is when you look in the mirror and you see the limitations.
Yeah.
And wow. And there are, if I right now, if I exchanged my eyes from you to me, I'm inspired when I look out to you, and I can do anything because I'm looking at you.
Wow.
But when I turn and I look at this screen and I'm looking at me, I want to run. My personality would be to hide because I'm not one who's like really, I look like an extrovert, but I'm really not. I would go to my room. If I looked at me, I go to my room, but if I look at you, I go running, you know, and I wouldn't care what I look like. And I wouldn't care what it was because all I saw was somebody to do it with. And wow. I think that's where creativity comes is out the window, you know, is open it up. Like it, my desk, I position my desk with behind me is this huge window, and I'm in the basement, just because that was the only room to put a big table for a computer. But I made sure that it was in front of a window so that I could look out and I could see things that change, a tree, the things that have movement and things that are real. And I think creativity is in things that are real.
Gotcha.
And they're in the real. And I don't care if they are ugly that day, because, you know, like in my book, one of the reasons I started the meditations was actually for your age group. You know, I wrote it for those kids who are actually coming into this point in their life where they realize, oh my gosh, I do have to jump off the freaking cliff. And now I need to look at myself, you know, and see if I'm fully equipped. And then they look at themselves some more to see if I'm, you know, physically ready. They look at themselves some more. And by the time they keep looking at themselves, they can't. They're frozen, wow. You know, they're stifled. They're in fear. They're thinking, well, what if something else comes up that better suits me? And there's just, is nothing else in the world but this moment. Yeah. There's no better. There's nothing better than what we have right today. Like if this is the last moment that I've got, man, on this earth, the last moment, I cannot think of a better way to spend it than with you, man. I couldn't think, like, I don't want to cry or anything, but there's like, yeah. I would have lived the best moment because I lived it being alive, you know, wow. And truly just investing my, in community, in dreams, you know? Does that help with where inspiration is?
Yes, I love it. One, you know, a couple of takeaways from this. I understand my wife better because she's a graphic designer, website developer, all those fun, nerdy things. And so she looks at color palettes for fun. Like I walk into the kitchen, she's sitting at the coffee table or kitchen table with her laptop open, looking at Pantone colors. And I'm just like, I do not understand what's happening right now. But she is inspired by that. And I think, you know, I think the takeaway, the biggest one is like, allow yourself to be inspired by all the things, even if it's a coffee mug with a cat on it that makes no sense, or if it's the, you know, like whatever. I think that is so many times where we're looking for the motivational speaker, we're looking for people in all the time to like do something for us. But I love how you say, like, I just wake up and decide, like, oh, how do I feel? And, you know, like, talking about it, I have this Larry the Lemon mug. There we go.
Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
So this is my face inside of a lemon. And so on Instagram, when I promote something, I always use Larry the Lemon. Like, hey, guys, Larry the Lemon over here. Like, it's something stupid. It's a filter on IG. But I, like, literally get this mug because it makes me happy, because I think Larry the Lemon, in my mind, he's a fictional thing or whatever. I just think he's like so funny. So I'm always going to have the, you know, I like this mug for that reason. So let me ask you this question. I titled this show The Woods and then 59 years of being a creator or something of that nature. And the reason why I did that is because, one, for people listening or watching this, every time I send a guest invite, I ask them, give me a few things that you would like to talk about. Like, I'm not coming up with all the topics and subjects. I'm trying to dive into what people want to bring. And so one of those things on there was the woods. And then I asked another question, how long have you been creating? And you said for 59 years, which I was like, wow, what a you know, crazy thing to do. So we kind of talked about the lifelong creator journey. But what is the woods? What is this all about?
Well, actually, in my website, the opening page is Welcome to My Woods. And I guess I would never have come up with woods as a description of my life. But the older I get, and I'm still not out of them, you know, when you're then I'm just going to say, okay, this must be where I'm supposed to be forever. It's called the woods, man. So wow. Now I've turned the woods into welcome, man. Welcome wow. to the woods. It's a good place. It's good. Whereas the woods, so I'm going to define for you the woods. When I was your age, you're still in your 20s, right?
No, I'm 35. I'll be 36. Oh, God, this year.
That's right. You're Kelly. Okay, I'm good. Yeah. Okay, good. I'm then old. This is exactly for you. Okay. So when you're in your 20s, probably mid-20s, you actually have your first welcome to the wilderness. Like, okay, you know, you're mid-20s, you're out at college, all of a sudden, and most people hit welcome to the woods a lot earlier. In fact, I've taught high schoolers who are in the freaking woods and they're only 15. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. They were just launched out there, and then coaching them and helping navigate them through it. I'm still in it and I'm thinking, well, then I'll eventually for sure, you know, get out. But when I, you know, after having the kids and it's, and you're just like more tangled in what you cannot see. The woods represent the things that you don't know. I'm just going to say that the woods is what you don't know.
Yeah. And it's like that wilderness, like mystery place. Like
it's just the unknown.
The wild, right?
It's and if you could tie that into the value of embracing the woods, the value of that in being creative, the value of it, then more people would be willing to be creative. Do you understand? But yeah. people who want to create, they want to know. They want to know what's out, what they can accomplish with it. They want to know it's going to be, you know, semi profitable. They want to know things. They want to know if it's good or not good. They want to know how people are going to see them. And that's not the way it's going to be. When you create something, you're creating, that drives me crazy. When you put it on just me.
Oh, I love it.
Okay. When you put it on just me, I go.
little pattern interrupts there.
I was like, whoa. But no, when you're in the woods, and when you embrace it, then you can be creative in it. When you think that it's got to be a clear vision and everything is clear to you so that you can, oh, I see this white palette to create what I want to create. The answer is you'll never create. You have to be willing to not know and not see everything. And then as you create, there's like little light that comes through some of those trees, just a little gleam of light. And you're going to know that's that aha of wonder. Oh, man, I wonder if it's over here. And then you start kind of going in that direction and then it kind of clouds up, but you see something else and it kind of moves you. And so it's most important in life to know that being in the woods and not knowing everything that you want to know, that's exactly where you're supposed to be. That's where the most creative, that's the most creative place to be, because that's how you can write. That's how you can paint the picture. That's how you can discover, you know, those invent, diagnose. Think about, you know, like my husband, he's a physician. Okay, how does he diagnose? Do you know how he diagnoses someone? In the will, it when there is just nothing but total trees blocking the solution. Wow. They've got this disease. They've got high blood pressure. They've got this. They can't tolerate this. They can't tolerate. And then in all of those woods, he's got to come up with a creative way to help them feel better.
Yeah. Wow.
To help them get optimal health out of that. What do they need to eliminate? So what I'm saying, I don't care what job you're in. I think if you go into it knowing what you need to know, then you are probably in the wrong place.
Wow.
You're going to end up being, you're going to be depressed.
Yeah.
Bored, depressed. You're going to feel unappreciated. You're going to feel all those things. You know why? Is because the work that you have to do, the creative work you have to do, has to overpower the compensation. That's where passion comes from. You know, is that like, I'm not thinking about the money that I'm going to get back. I'm thinking about how am I going to navigate these woods and create something out of that. And that is my passion. If I already knew it all and I was waiting for just the paycheck, then I'm bored because I wasn't using that creative being that I am.
Yeah.
And you end up just moving from job to job to job is because you want to know everything. And
I love that, because I was that person in my 20s. I was that person in my early 30s where, you know, even though I owned a business, I would still be working for other people because I was like putting out fillers because I was really too afraid to admit what I wanted to do was to be a creator, to do this, to do podcasts and live streams and media. And so I think you're, you know, 100% correct. It's like, you know, just be okay with making that decision and not be, and I don't know. You know, I'm sitting here right now creating this daily show that takes up a lot of my bandwidth, that makes me $0. And people go, how are you going to make money with this? And I go, I don't know. I just do it. But two years ago, I also started a fishing podcast. I had no idea how I was going to make money. And we just launched. And then we got a sponsor. That was awesome. Got another sponsor. That was great. Got more sponsors. That's perfect. Now we launched a membership group. It's bringing in thousands of dollars on week one, which is just amazing. And so, you know, I didn't have all those answers, though. I still don't have all the answers. I just know what I want. And my wife is like, Ashley is just so... She's been doing this for like 10 years. Like, she's been telling me for 10 years, honey, just do what you want to do.
Yeah.
And
do the
all
natural.
The other stuff.
Yeah.
All the other stuff will come.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, she crushes it. Her business is crushing it. And she's not a business person. She doesn't make sales phone calls. Doesn't even take calls. Like, people are like, let's jump on Zoom calls. She's like, nope, you can tell me in an email or I'm not doing the project. I mean, she sets her own rules. Like, she sets her own rules. And so it's just amazing, you know, but she's not always trying to figure out what is the answer before I even see the problem. And I was always like that. So I love that you said that. So let's transition a little bit.
I want to tag one little thing.
Let's go.
Is that you can be creative monetary, like with money.
Sure.
Like, in other words, my creative mind does think, okay, how am I going, like, how can I make the money from this?
Yeah.
How can I and create that? So in other words, I don't want to separate that because that always, I don't mind saying, but that always just really ticked me off. When people thought that creative people were lazy and they didn't care about
starving artist.
Yeah, the starving artist story. I just, first of all, it makes me angry. You know, because that is belittling the value of what we do. And there is, and I don't mind telling everybody in the world, there is absolutely not $1 that they can place that would match the value of my being, of what it is that I've experienced, of what I know, knowledge. There's like, you can't, there's no dollar bill for that. There's only creative ways of making it, but there is no, you can't put a price tag on that. So I don't like starving artists. I don't like saying, okay, creative people just sit around and they just think it's going to happen some way. I don't know how. I mean, let's get a joint. I mean, no, I just, you know, it does happen. It's like, be intentional about in your creativity about how you want to monetize that, or, you know, how do you want to make money from it? Who is your audience? How do you want to build your audience? How do you want to serve them? And do you want to make money from that? And how much, and how much do you want to launch that to the next level? So I think all of that is part of creativity, and there's nothing wrong with any of it. I just don't want anyone to fall into the trap of thinking that it's okay to be creative minus the value of it.
There is
value in creative, in being creative. There's value in it. And I'll tell you who got the raw deal. That is mothers, you know, stay-at-home moms. You know, they got really belittled because they were not making money. And you know, while they were they were taking care of the kids. And I just think that those judgments are inaccurate. They're inaccurate because you can't put a dollar bill on people who are being creative in whatever they are. You know, whatever they are, whatever they're doing, is that there's no, but I do feel that you part of your responsibility with your creativity is to be a good steward of it, to find its value, and to not be afraid to name its monetary value. Like, how much is this show worth? You know, I believe that it serves this. I find a way to be able to strategize the number of listeners who are being launched to the next level, or actually being advised as a teacher, like I'm teaching right now type of thing. Yeah. You're teaching, you know, it's like you're the facilitator and I'm teaching, and you're telling me that value of this show is tremendous. And the more that you put its value in what we would call economic ways, then I think that makes our world of being creative daily, that, you know, kind of whatever, more real, like out in the workplace. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Cause absolutely. I know for a lot of people, this doesn't look like I'm out in the workplace, but I go to work every day. Well, I mean, I taught, but just because when I finished teaching and I went into the creative design of editing and writing and doing, you know, Final Cut Pro and putting together videos, I had to creatively decide what is the value of that. The government didn't do it. Like in teaching, the government says you get this amount of dollars for going in the door and teaching these kids. And I had to be creative in deciding how much that work that I was doing and the knowledge that I knew to put into it was worth. So all those creative people, be a good steward and value yourself. Value yourself.
Yeah, I think it's great. And, you know, and I won't get into this, but I do think that there's a system that as creators and what I would call hyper creators, people who like want to do this, you know, for a living or full time creators or whatever you say, it's like there is this fight of this system that was built for us to go work for other people and work in factories and do all these things in the educational system. And it really is that point of, hey, everything on this earth was created by someone. Or something like I don't care what corporation or a factory or a 9-to-5 job or whatever you want to call it. There was a person, you know, to help create that environment, that culture, that economy, whatever it is. And so I agree 100% that people should think about monetization of their creativity very early on. I mean, I think about it before I ever hit the record button. Like,
absolutely.
I might sandbag a little and say, I don't know how creating daily is going to make money, but I have a plan. Will it work? Yeah, maybe, totally. Maybe not, but I totally agree. But I do want to give plenty of time for your book, because I know we brought you on. You're such a, I mean, just a wealth of knowledge and so many years of creation. but you created this awesome book that I one really appreciate that you sent it to me all the way down here in Puerto Rico. And I don't know if you meant to do this or not, but you put a little note in there that it was talking about being on the show with a bookmark, and you put it on this page number 54, and it's like, I don't know if you want to read it. I don't think I'm going to read it, but I love it. Like, I don't know if you meant to do that. I don't know if you put it in there, but I want to give people like a little.
I'm
going to
see what it is. I'll tell you, because normally I do. Absolutely. I meant that.
Okay.
You're talking about Braveheart.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question. There's like when I actually hand people books, is I know. Well, let me explain just to the people listening what Mama Bear Meditations is intended to be. You know, I started out with a mentor of mine. His name is Jamie Winship, and he I was at one of his conferences, and he said, everyone has at least 10 people that they are influence daily influence, mm-hmm. Their path influences them, 10 people all the time. Now those 10 people may change, you know, at different times. When you're teaching, it's quite a few, but everybody can name about 10 people in which their lives directly influence. And wow. He said, he just stopped at the end of this conference and he said, do something with those 10. Be intentional. Wow. He said, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm just saying, be intentional about your influence with those 10. And that means your awareness is that your life affects theirs. And so because of that, maybe you want to be intentional and I'm going to remember their birthdays. Maybe I'll be intentional by once a month I'll take them to lunch or something. You know, I don't know. Be intentional about praying for them, knowing what it is, knowing the place where they hurt. So when he said that, I thought to myself, "Oh, I've got 10. I've got 10." I'd really concentrated when I teach. So everybody knows I'm a choral director. I will right off the bat say that every person who has had me as a teacher chorally has found out very quickly that I'm not a choral director. I didn't grow up doing this. I just didn't. In fact, I looked at videos to go, okay, I've got this, and then I just do this, and then do this, and everything. But no, that what I did know I was a person who can connect with people. I knew that I could connect with a person. And so if I could connect with them through music, which is what I did know something about educationally, then I could be a good teacher. But I will say that this is totally different. This, when I went to the 10 people that I influenced, I didn't want to throw them music because we weren't in a classroom. So wow. I thought, what is it that I want to do? And I thought, I want to be vulnerable with myself. I want to actually say the things I want to say, but I'm now that I'm, you know, 64, I'm not with those people. And it's not, you know, you have to say what you want to say at the time you need to say it. And you just don't have those moments. And so I thought, I'm going to have a moment in a text message, and I'm going to pick 10 people and I'm going to write to them. Wow. 10 people in a group, but I'm going to write to them, but it's going to be, I'm just going to let them see me opening up myself to my creator. And I'm going to actually give them this part of my mind that is questioning what I did as a young mother, or as even as throughout my life, all the decisions I've made, my marriage, my kids. And I'm just going to stop for a moment and I'm going to undo it. And I'm going to lay it out there and I'm going to tell them what I think now. you know, now that I look back and I see, but I didn't want to look them. But anyway, I'm going to take, I want to take two because I am going to, I love Braveheart. It's one of my very favorite.
And before you do that, Jen, yeah. I do want to say when I read this book, it was kind of interesting because I got it as a 35 year old man. And I was like, I made an assumption that, hey, honey, maybe you should read this because you're a mama, you know, whatever.
Yeah, totally. Maybe you, big mistake.
Big mistake.
And big so I started, mistake.
I started reading it and I'm like,
yeah.
And I know you and I, you know, I know of you and I've been familiar and I've been kept, you know, keeping up with the Rogers clan for a while. So, you know, one, I read it from your voice perspective in my head. And then all of a sudden, after I was reading it for a minute, I'm like, holy cow, this is me.
Exactly.
It was like I knew this was you writing it about your situation, but then all of a sudden it like transformed into me. Yeah. And I was like, okay, this is amazing. So I would love for you to share. And I think, you know, everybody should go get one of these books, first of all, before you even start reading it. Like before you even read it, it's got my recommendation. I can't put it down. I've already read it, reread it. And, you know, I keep going back to these pages. And it is an amazing product. And so MamaBearMeditations.com is the place for people to go, right? I think I checked
well, that before. Well, that's if you want to read some of the meditations right now, you want to read Where My Heart Was, and I hope that it just connects to where your heart is. And that's kind of where what I was is I wanted to be at a depth of a vulnerable place that it would meet someone else's vulnerable place and they could feel that. And then they would have that conversation with God, with the spirit within them, that voice, and they can actually be real. Do you understand? Well, yeah. So I'm going to set it up by this one that I was writing about walls and usually the way that I sit in this meditation time, I don't really plan on writing. It's just that I'm looking out that window and I could be moving around or in the world or whatever. And there is an experience that stirs an emotion in me that I didn't know I had that emotion. I didn't know I did. Wow. Like, in other words, just to let everybody know right now, I'm on that bench, and you'll look at my my website to see on that bench. And I'm meditating on the word jaded because I have never ever considered myself to be jaded or cynical. I just haven't. I was reading a little bit of Rachel Held's, and then I was out, and then I had this emotion in me that felt jaded, that I've never, I was like, oh my gosh, I feel this.
Wow.
And I want to stay right there and understand that part of me, that part that maybe I have not gotten out. So it's actually the stillness inside your soul. But the meditation on walls, I started out, we all have walls, ways to keep people at a distance. God forbid they know how we really feel, what you really think, what you would be doing if you were just being you. And that's all I want to read about that. It's just like, you know, God forbid they know who you really are. And that is how I wanted to communicate with these 10 people, you know, and I would be writing it on my notes and really talk to them about tearing down walls, not being afraid, but I took it from my own, you know, is how complicated and we're programmed by so many people to think a certain way. And you just keep moving and you keep moving in life and keep moving. And what I want to do is that so that you don't move so fast that you get to be my age and you're just all bottled up mess because you haven't been still enough during those years of living to undo what the world is doing in you without you even knowing it. The world right now is just so messing with you. The world is messing. People mess with you. I'm messing with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can be messing. You know, it's like you got to be still and you got to have that moment of undoing what happened today and processing it through a filter of love that you can see things in wonder rather than seeing things in resentment, you know, or hate or that kind of thing. But anyway, I'm going to do the Braveheart for you. Is that what you want me to do?
Oh, I love it. I love this. It's good.
Now, I am saying that this hurts. This meditation goes to so many people out there that have been in a brave heart or are in a brave heart right now, or they're going to be future called on to be the brave heart. And no one's exempt. No one's exempt. So I wanted to just take, you know, at that moment, I was in the 10 and the 10, and I've added a couple other of 25s that are 35s. Most of them were 35, 36 around Kelly's age. And they kept asking Kelly, hey, tell your mom, put me in the text message, Mama Bear. So I was like, so I got up to like 25 kids. They were all the kids, and they were just all these. What I always see is kids that were wandering around going, oh, just say anything to me that I just don't really, that I don't get totally like discouraged with life, you know? So anyway, this is my Braveheart. I have a category in my head for opposites, upside down meanings for things that should be, but they aren't. Brave is in that category. You hear the words strong and brave as if they were performing on stage. The opening act, strong, stirs the crowd and gets them pumped up for brave just to come out and give them what they came for. A team effort. But you know who they remember? It's the brave. Anyone can train themselves to be strong. Read the books, do your homework, exercise your mind and body so it responds to your little engine whispering, you can do it, you can do it, you can. I got the strong. But brave, brave is that word you don't want to hear, that call you don't want to answer, that road that you never want to travel. Ask me to be brave and immediately, without thinking, the wall goes up. I'm in self-protect mode, and everyone around me needs to get out. I pause to put my walls down. As strong is attached to the physical, brave is attached to the heart. And the heart, well, it's the heart, the place that pumps out love, hope, and courage. The heart stuff is the hard stuff because you fear there won't be enough and it's gonna hurt. Not true. And true. Brave hearts have more love, hope, and courage than you can ever imagine. The hurt part is the process of it circulating through your veins and back into your heart, so there's more and more to be poured out in the moment. Brave hearts are a phenomenon. They walk through fire and never burn. They pass through rivers and are never swept away. Their steady beat carries on and on and on. It's crazy amazing. Whether your brave heart is past, present, or future, let it be the biggest part of your story. It is mine. And that is like, that I say is probably the truest, I guess, feeling I've ever had, is that, I'm a mother of three, and I think I have lived most of my life in fear of being brave. Mm-hmm. A fear that I was going to have to be brave. You know, I was going to have to be brave. You always think of, Kelly was diagnosed when she was 9 with diabetes. And I remember that, you know, Tom was just like, okay, let's just get her to the hospital. Let's, you know, we'll get her a pump and let's just move on with life. And we kept moving. And then it was just all this, these things that I had to watch with her. And then Andy was diagnosed with type one. And then we went through several really deep, dark, depressing years in my life personally, in our marriage. And brave was not something I wanted. Like in fact, every time in my prayer life, you always pray for the good stuff so that you don't have to be brave, you know, like this, strong is fine. But brave, no, brave yeah. is, I just don't want to, but anyway, there are so many brave hearts out there. And I when I say that you're in the brave right now, I have a friend that is battling cancer right now, just golly, every Monday, you know, she's doing chemo and hair falling out and everything. And she stands there in that Facebook, which is these number four, I'm on four, number four chemo treatment. I'm on number five, which is this, you know, I can do it. And what she's doing is she is living out her brave heart. And I more is pumping into that heart and pouring out to other people. And people like me are just being overwhelmingly, lifted up by her brave. So wow. It's the brave hearts of the world that totally change our lives. And yet we fear to be one. Wow. And so it's, you know, when I think about brave, I still, so just as long as you know, I still don't want to be. I don't know if that's my human. I don't want to be brave. I know I can be strong and I will be brave, but do I want to? No. And every brave heart will say the same. They know what it costs, and it costs them a lot. And that's the kind of meditate, like, in other words, one person on the text message, her mother was dying. Oh God, kill me. Because Kelly kept saying, is there, can you just write something for her? You know, can you write? And the same thing is, you know, Ben would say, hey, can you write something just on integrity? What does that mean? Words that 35 or 30 to 30 to 40 are really trying to dig up, and they want to be that. They want to be a man of integrity. They want to be a person who doesn't want to be called needy. You know, and I wrote a meditation on needy, and that, because that word really, like, when that came up, is, you're just being needy. And I just want to go, hell, I'm not being needy. I just need something, man. I need it now. That ain't being needy. That's like, and so I thought to myself when I got to my bench, is like, oh man, I lost it. And, you know, am I needy? And that's like getting with the Lord and sitting down with Jesus and saying, okay, what is needy? What does that mean? You know, I know what the world has said needy is, and they put label on people. And my favorite meditation, the whole thing is dance. Is I don't care what your dance floor is, just as long as you know you've got one. You know, like people that in fact, that's for all the creators of the world, is dance. Is I don't know what triggered me on that day for dance, but ever since then, I've wanted to send out dance to every person who felt like they could not do something, that they didn't have the floor to do that on. Mm. And I'm like, well, who told you didn't have that floor? Who told you that you didn't have that it didn't matter what your dance looks like. You can dance. I don't care what it looks like. And, that's the kind of thing that, that was my mama bear. I know people can't see that for sure.
What page is that on?
That's on 45.
45.
I will say to the people out there, is my niece was one of my texts. Oh yeah. Yeah. There's my baby. My niece is the one who drew all the, she's 27 now, golly. And she was in my text messages. And by time, I was text messaging, and I numbered them just so that they could see what number they were on. And
wow.
And then wow. She said, can I, she's a graphic designer out in Austin. And she goes, can I just draw some stuff? And, for your meditations, like, I'll just draw what I think. And I'm like, I don't even care what you draw. Whatever you draw is what you took from that meditation. But,
wow.
But I like this because it, like, after wow. It says, you know, the mental fill in the blank, who's got it, who needs serious help, who forgot how, who's too much, who's too little, who's not enough out there. It's the judgments on how people dance. And and then I went, there's a lot of truth exposed when asked to dance. And I'm sure if asked, each fill in the blank would have a story. The truth is our dance floors are all different. And some have always been open, unconditional, try whatever. That's mine. You know, that's my dance floor. Others wow. have been almost non-existent. So you never really knew where to stand or what it felt like to move. Nobody taught you to dance. You know, nobody even taught you what creativity is. You know, and there are kids out there who grew up in a home in which no one actually said there was a floor to dance on. And and then I said, but the in-between are the forgotten floors. That means they had a dance floor and then it was shut down I just drew a blank because you name it. You know, they were shut down. And it says, I don't care if you dance or don't dance. But I do care that you know the floor is always open underneath your own 2 feet. And that space is for whatever crazy move you want to make, you want to throw down at any given time. And there's no permission necessary. The dance is yours. The floor is yours. The invitation is yours. And that's from the Lord of the dance. And I just want to know that God called you to dance. He called you. He gave you the dance floor called this entire world. You know, I mean, that's just crazy good. The entire world is your dance floor.
Yeah.
And if it got shut down because someone said you look stupid on the dance floor, you know, then all of a sudden you're shut down and you don't want to even get out on it anymore. Then that's a lie. That's a lie because they don't own your dance. The Lord does. You know, I said the Lord so gave good. You the dance. No, nobody can take it from you. And I feel like every person has a different dance. And and this is what the undoing is. It's undoing what the world is. It's undoing what the world has made us think.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, 100%.
So we have to kind of relearn it. We have to stop. We have to meditate. We have to be quiet and still, no matter how hard it is, ADD, whatever, you know, take it to your place, run 8 miles before you sit down, and be still and undo some stuff.
I love this book because this book is going to do for a lot of people what that year or four months that you did in my life. And that was, you gave me permission to create.
Absolutely. You gave me permission
to dance. And I think so many people don't have that. And so that's what I read when I read this book. And once again, I judged the book by its cover and was like, this is for women. Like, this isn't for me. But I encourage you, if you're a guy out there, get this thing because it's gonna wreck your world. And so go to mamabearmeditations.com and order one. And order one for a friend of yours as well. Sorry, I went to the wrong camera there. But this is amazing, Jenny. I love that. One, I love that this was like a text message of you just serving people.
Yeah, it was last minute.
I didn't know that part. That blew my mind when you're like, I was texting these girls and then I turned it into a book. I'm like, wait, what happened?
Well, when I was texting them at the, you know, I didn't know when to stop because I thought, well, they're probably tired of this. And then when my niece had all these, I don't know, her sketches of what that meditation brought out in her, especially when I wrote one on the mirror, you know, of what you see. And that mirror, I know I'm talking all this, but I love these meditations. But the mirror one, was inspired because I was doing a video and my son, it was a video of my son and my daughter, and they were at Performance Medicine. They were doing on aesthetics. And Andy said, this is my youngest son. He said, hey, Mom, can you get my right side? Because my nose looks bigger if I turn this side. So I want the right side. And then Kelly says, this is my middle daughter. She says, no, Andy, I need that side of the camera because I have this place on my face that looks horrible if I'm on that side. Wow. You know, one was with a part, and literally they fought for like 20 minutes on the view of my camera. And I thought to myself, okay, so that's what you see when you look in the mirror. You see the big nose, man. Oh, when you look in the mirror, you see that eyebrow that's kind of raised, and you see the wrinkles, or you see, you know what I'm saying? And that's why I say the danger of the mirror. You know, it's like, you know, when we were talking about what shuts down, you know, or what inspires you to create. And I can't say it enough. It's a window. It's lookout.
Wow.
Look out. Do not look in the mirror, because you'll see that crooked nose. You're going to see a person who can't speak clearly. You're going to see a person, I just can't stand myself in a mirror, and I honestly can't stand it. And so it stops me from everything that I want to do in my life when I look in a mirror. But when I look out that window, I want to run. I want to run this race so fast, and I never want to stop. I want to be like Forrest Gump, and I want, you know, run, Forrest, run. I do. I think it's the most... I think that's the most fascinating thing is the change of perspective from the mirror to the window.
Wow, man. Wow. This has been incredible. I've just been a student this whole entire hour. I've just been like, and I knew I was like, I just want to carve out all the fluff of the show and just come on and chat and talk. And I knew you were going to bring so much value. And I want to have you on again, because I think this is just the tip of the iceberg of some of the stuff. And then I also want to connect to you. And if there's anybody listening to this that's a podcaster, and, you know, reach out and I can get you guys connected.
I'd love
to. Love to for you to go on other people's show to promote your book, but really just do what you've done for my audience and myself, which is inspire me to keep hitting record, keep hitting go live, keep, you know, putting groups of people together and teaching them how to do stuff to get their message out. And I think it's huge what you've done in the last 59 years of being a creator. Like, that is just amazing. And once again, I've just been a little speck on the radar, but you've literally changed my whole life and people's lives, I'm sure, that have, you know, been exposed to me and the things I've learned. And it's just like this big snowball effect. And so
totally.
I really appreciate you, and you know I love you. So
I love you too, man.
And I love the whole Rogers clan. So, and I'm sure we're going to be talking about live streaming and nerdy editing and all that fun stuff.
Yeah,
so.
All the things that get it out. That's all creative stuff that that we need to share. That's called being a community and being in it. So I appreciate what you're doing for us at Performance Medicine, and definitely if I'd love to. I'd love to be in everybody's woods, you know, so if there's an opportunity where there's, and again, the mama thing, I think when I say everybody needs a mama, and I think that their view of Father God is also a mother God too, you know, a nurturer, you know, God nurtures and loves us like a mother. And so that's the way I look at that. Anyway, thank you so much for having me.
Love it. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining me. And we'll definitely be connecting soon, and hopefully I can get you to connected to some of my community and they can help you, you know, continue your message, continue putting it out there. So
totally.
I really appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right. Love you, man.
All right. Love you too. We'll talk soon.
Okay.
All right, and there you go, guys. That is my friend Jenny Rogers. I mean, such an inspiration. Hopefully, if you didn't take anything away from that, well, if you didn't, you just weren't listening or watching properly. And you should go back and watch it again. Super amazing content creator. Been doing it for a really long time, pouring into a lot of lives. So really appreciate her. And go check out her book, Mama Bear Meditations. Doesn't matter if you're... don't just think if you're a dude that you won't get anything out of it, because I thought that, and I love this book. It's changing my world. So go to mamabearmeditations.com and check it out. Get connected with Jenny Rogers. And then also join me tomorrow. I'm going to be back here at 2 p.m. Eastern time with my friend Drew Milton to talk about how do you book guests on your show. How do you get those guests to come onto your podcast? I'm booking guests most of the time for my show, so I'm really going to dig in and learn. So if you're a live streamer, a podcaster, or you got some other thing where you're booking guests, he's done a really good job at it. He's had some celebrity people on his show as well, which I'm going to dig into a little bit, which will be kind of fun. But anyway, join me tomorrow, 2 p.m. Eastern time, and we'll talk to you then. See ya.